Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. On Death and Dying by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is a landmark work that helped reshape modern conversations about terminal illness, hospice care, and the emotional realities of dying. Written from her clinical experience working with seriously ill patients, the book asks caregivers and families to look beyond charts and procedures and to meet the person who is dying with honesty, presence, and compassion. Kubler-Ross explores the inner world of patients who face life-limiting diagnoses and shows how avoidance, euphemisms, and institutional routines can deepen suffering. She also offers a framework for understanding common emotional responses that may arise as people confront mortality, a framework that later became widely known as the Stages of Grief model. More than a medical text, it is a humane guide for doctors, nurses, clergy, social workers, and loved ones who want to communicate better, reduce fear, and support dignity at the end of life. The book remains influential because it addresses a universal experience with clinical clarity and moral urgency. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, listening to the dying as teachers. A central message of the book is that people who are dying are not merely patients to be managed, but human beings with insight, priorities, and emotional needs that deserve careful attention. Kubler-Ross emphasizes the value of direct conversations in which caregivers listen without rushing to reassure, correct, or change the subject. When clinicians and families allow honest questions about prognosis, fear, meaning, and unfinished business, they can reduce isolation and help the person feel seen. The book challenges the culture of silence that often surrounds terminal illness, where staff may focus on tasks and relatives may avoid difficult topics out of love or discomfort. It highlights how this avoidance can unintentionally communicate abandonment. By approaching patients with curiosity and respect, caregivers can learn what matters most to them, whether it is reconciling relationships, spiritual concerns, practical decisions, or simply being treated as an adult who can handle reality. This stance also improves care planning, because symptoms, goals, and preferences are more accurately understood when the patient is treated as an active participant rather than a passive object of treatment. Secondly, the emotional process, often called the Stages model, Kubler-Ross presents a widely recognized framework for common emotional reactions to terminal diagnosis and impending death, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. In the book, these responses are described as patterns that may appear, overlap, return, or be absent, rather than a rigid staircase everyone must climb. The practical value lies in helping caregivers interpret behavior with empathy. Denial can function as a temporary buffer while a person absorbs overwhelming information. Anger may be directed at staff or family, yet it often reflects grief, loss of control, and perceived unfairness. Bargaining can show a desire for time, meaning, or a sense of agency. Depression may reflect both situational sadness and anticipatory grief for losses already arriving. Acceptance is presented less as cheerfulness and more as a quieter readiness, sometimes accompanied by reduced need for conversation. The framework encourages clinicians and families to respond with patience and appropriate support rather than judgment. It also helps teams avoid one-size-fits-all expectations and instead focus on what the person is signaling emotionally, spiritually, and relationally in a specific moment. Thirdly, communication that respects truth and dignity. The book argues that truthful communication, delivered with sensitivity, is a form of respect that supports autonomy and reduces fear. Kubler-Ross critiques indirect language and evasive reassurance that can leave patients feeling confused and alone. She also addresses the complexity of telling the truth. The right amount of information depends on what the patient wants to know and can absorb, and it must be paired with emotional support. A key theme is that care improves when teams invite questions, acknowledge uncertainty, and remain present even when there are no solutions. This approach supports informed decision-making about treatments, comfort measures, and personal priorities. It also helps families navigate their own distress without projecting it onto the patient. The book highlights common hospital dynamics that can undermine dignity, such as speaking over the patient, treating death as a failure, or focusing exclusively on disease rather than personhood. By fostering clear, compassionate dialogue, caregivers can create a space where patients can express fears about pain, abandonment, dependency, or spiritual doubt. The result is not merely better information exchange, but a more humane relationship at the end of life. Fourthly, the role of caregivers, teams, and institutions. Kubler-Ross explores how the attitudes of clinicians, clergy, and institutions shape the experience of dying. She describes the emotional strain faced by professionals who routinely confront loss and may protect themselves through detachment, humor, or avoidance. The book suggests that supportive team cultures, reflective practice, and education about death can reduce burnout and improve patient care. It also underscores that end-of-life care is interdisciplinary. Physical comfort, emotional support, social needs, and spiritual questions often arise together. Nurses may notice subtle shifts in mood or pain. Physicians may guide medical decisions. Chaplains may help address meaning and faith, and social workers may assist with family dynamics and practical planning. When teams coordinate and communicate, the patient experiences continuity rather than fragmentation. The book also implies that institutions can either humanize or dehumanize dying through policies around visiting, privacy, and how staff are trained to speak about death. By normalizing conversations about mortality and equipping caregivers to stay present, health systems can transform end-of-life care from a hidden crisis into a thoughtful, patient-centered process. Lastly, family dynamics, grief, and preparing for loss. Another important focus is how families experience a loved one's dying process and how their responses can either support or complicate the patient's emotional needs. Kubler-Ross addresses the tendency of relatives to insist on optimism, avoid the word death, or push for continued interventions without fully exploring the patient's wishes. Such patterns are often driven by fear, guilt, or unresolved conflicts, yet they can leave the dying person feeling pressured or silenced. The book encourages families to practice presence, listening, allowing sadness, and offering companionship without making the patient manage everyone else's emotions. It also highlights that anticipatory grief begins before death and can include fatigue, irritability, or numbness. Recognizing these reactions can reduce shame and make space for healthier coping. Practical preparation also matters, including discussing preferences, farewells, and unfinished conversations. By supporting family members to communicate more openly, the book aims to reduce complicated grief and regrets after death. It frames dying as a shared human event in which honest connection can bring moments of reconciliation, gratitude, and peace even amid suffering. In conclusion, this book is best suited for clinicians, nurses, chaplains, social workers, hospice volunteers, therapists, and family caregivers who want a clearer emotional map for what many patients experience near the end of life. It is also valuable for anyone facing serious illness personally because it offers language for feelings that can be hard to name and permission to ask for honest communication. The benefit to a reader's life is practical and relational. It can improve conversations, reduce fear of saying the wrong thing, and encourage a steadier presence when someone is suffering. It also invites reflection on mortality in a way that can clarify priorities and deepen compassion in everyday interactions. Compared with many books that focus mainly on medical decisions or grief after death, Kubler-Ross places the person who is dying at the center and treats their perspective as essential knowledge. The result is both foundational and usable, a framework that helps readers interpret emotional reactions with empathy rather than frustration. Its enduring worth comes from combining clinical observation with a humane insistence that dignity, truth, and connection remain possible even when cure is not. If you would like to support Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.